Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is our 27th anniversary. I have the 27th logo. It's beautiful. I'm about to get it up. This week, I'm going to do a lot of things this week because I was at Ocean City over the weekend. I was at golf all day. I was a guest of the Curio Wellness folks. Just had the greatest day. I don't know. You'd be hard pressed to believe I could have this much fun at golf, especially when we got stuck in a rainstorm after the whole thing. But Scottie Scheffler, nice work. Orioles over the weekend with the Basayo and the Dillon Beavers call up and the near perfect game of Brandon Young. We hope our crab cake tour has the kind of success we had over the weekend around here. We're going to be down at Fadley's on Thursday. On Friday, I'm going to be Pizza John's in Essex. On Monday, we move back to Costas in Timonium. I'm really looking forward to that. Back downtown to Solancha on Tuesday of next week. And then we're going to be at Coco's next Wednesday featuring my favorite things to eat. And I am on the trail. I mean, I did Ugly Pie in Salisbury. I went all the way down to Old Salties and had another crab cake down there. It was delicious. Making my way back from the beach and doing a lot of great places, local places this week. I think you'll dig it. They're all tasty. There's a little bit of the cookie left from Patisserie Poupon that I had during the break here. Lucas and I have been discussing not just the fact that I will not only have the lucky sevens and the pressure lux. I'll have Raven scratch off soon this week. You'll hear the new ads around here. It is Raven season. God, Luke, one more of these godforsaken games. I mean, just let's, whew, before we began with this, you used the word, it's a great AI word for you. You used the word unremarkable about their trip down to Dallas, right? Not nearly as remarkable as Jerry's World.
Yeah, I mean, it's just look, we know what it is from an entertainment standpoint, right? Which at the end of the day, that's what this is.
Bring on the bananas.
It's not a great product. We understand that. However, it was fruitful for purposes of evaluating young players. John Harbaugh went as far to name Tyler Loop his kicker that he won the job after Saturday night's game, which he was the only kicker on the roster after they had let Hoyland, the other rookie, go a couple weeks ago. So not exactly earth-shattering or all that meaningful. I mean, we know that him being named the week one kicker is one thing. Him continuing to be the kicker beyond that is the test, right? In the same way it was for Justin Tucker when he replaced Billy Cundiff 13 years ago, right? So it was good to see him get what, six opportunities. He missed one from beyond 50, made two from beyond 50. I've said it all spring and summer. You watch Tyler Loop kick, you can see he's got a leg. I mean, there's no question about that. In that way, he reminds you very much of Justin Tucker once upon a time, where you say, I see why they liked him, because he can kick the heck out of the football. The question will be the consistency, right? So we learned that. That was kind of the big takeaway. And beyond that, some young guys
Also,
here and there.
conditional kicking.
Oh,
It's
sure.
summertime and it is what it is. Kicking in Cleveland in the mud's a whole different gig.
Oh yeah. I mean, especially kicking in Jerry's World, right? Where it's indoor. I mean, Brandon Aubrey, their kicker, which we've talked about that guy. He's got an unbelievable leg. I mean, we saw him make, what was that, a 62-yarder casually against the Ravens early in that game. I think it was beyond 60. It was like casual. It's like, what the heck? They just like tried a field goal early in the game that long and he made it like it was nothing. But he also gets to kick half his games there. You want to see him pass every test. And he hasn't been perfect. He's even had some practices where you'd say, oh, that wasn't good. But part of that is also, how do you respond from that? When you miss one, do you let it snowball and suddenly you have two or three bad practices in a row, or you make two or three, miss two or three in a row? Or do you get back on the horse and you make the next one? And I think that's where they've liked him, right?
Well,
There's nothing.
I hate to tell the kids around here who don't know any better, but most other places, kickers miss kicks.
They do. They do.
In practice, on the backfields, on the front fields, and in warm-ups, they miss kicks. They do. Because it's
I
just
mean,
it this is not it's like baseballs, you hit 300, you're doing a good job. There's a number here and it ain't perfect.
it's not. And it also needs to come with an understanding of putting aside anything about Justin Tucker off the field or even how he kicked last year, which he didn't kick very well last year, right? I mean, we might have been talking about competition, even if the banners report or nothing ever comes out about that. We still might have been talking about at least somewhat of a competition this this summer. May
If
not have been
those
Tyler.
sneaky journalists weren't out meddling.
Well, but it may not have been Tyler Loop drafted in the sixth round, but chances are there would have been someone at least pushing the issue a little bit. But part of this is also recognizing that Tyler Loop could end up being a heck of a kicker. Chances are he's not going to be as great as what Justin Tucker was for a decade plus, right? I mean, that's
You and
really
I
tough
went
to
through
do.
Dylan Beavers and Nick Markakis in the
Oh, sure,
baseball
yeah.
segment, just doing the comparisons. I don't know if there's going to be any comparison to Justin Tucker. Like, wake me in 5 years if this kid's making 60-yard field goals on the regular and never missing kicks. And then we'll start talking about, I mean, even 8, 10 weeks into this year, if he's remarkable and flawless, it's just such a high bar to
It'll
do it
be
as long as Justin Tucker did it.
if he does that, the next question will be, okay, how's he doing December when the weather turns? How does he do in January when the stakes are at their highest, right? I mean, no pun intended, it absolutely is a case of moving the goalpost because, I mean, like, dude, that's your job, right? I mean, so
Oh, well, let's be honest. If Lamar's going to win a Super Bowl and they're going to win 4 games in
they
January into
probably are going to need a
February,
big kick at
they're
some
going to need
point.
a big kick at some point,
Yeah,
or two or five. Yeah.
no doubt, no question about it. So I think you start with
In bad weather, I'm just going to throw that in
sure,
too. So the weather will not be good.
I think a reasonable expectation to start with is, can he be better than what Justin Tucker was through the first 11 games last year? Justin Tucker was bad through the first 11 games last year. He's one of the worst kickers in football when you look at it statistically. Now, he regrouped and kicked well the rest of the year after the bye, but you start there. Can he be consistent? Can he make all of his kicks inside 40 yards? Can he make all of his kicks inside 45 yards? Again, the leg will not be a question. He has a strong kicking leg. We're going to see that. But part of what made Justin Tucker great, and before him, what made Matt Stover great for all those years, making the kicks that you're supposed to make. Not the one that's going to be the highlight that's going to get you to the Pro Bowl necessarily, but can you be automatic from inside 45? Can you be automatic from inside 50? And Justin Tucker was, and Matt Stover, maybe not inside 50, because Stover, even in his prime, didn't really have that kind of mega leg, but he made them all from inside 40 and inside 45, which, was kind of a different game 30 years ago, kicking the football than what
Well,
you
I was
see
going to say,
now.
John plays the game differently now
Sure.
than he did when Justin Tucker was a rookie.
Yeah. I
I
mean,
mean, Justin Tucker was kicking a lot more field goals when Joe Flacco was around. They're playing different football at that
sure.
time. They're playing four-down football now. They're playing downhill football with Derrick Henry. I don't know that there's a fourth down or a place on the field where he could kick a field goal where they wouldn't go for it. So, I mean, there are going to be opportunities Tyler Loop doesn't sniff. And
Yeah,
I mean, a
that's
dozen
fair.
or a dozen and a half over the course of the year that he will not come onto the field and not we'll never know if he could have made a
Sure.
52-yard field goal or a 58-yard field goal because he ain't even going to try it.
Yeah, they're going to go for it on fourth and one, and they might score a touchdown 3 plays
They're
later
going to
because
go for
that's,
it on fourth and
yeah.
six.
Well, I mean, they might. I mean, depending on where it is on the field, I mean, usually not fourth and six, but your point is spot on in terms of, when you have this kind of offense and the way they want to play, when you have Lamar Jackson, when you have Derrick Henry, they're going to be, it's not even in their mind, it's not even being aggressive. The math and the analytics would tell you when you're at fourth and one, just about anywhere on the field, other than maybe like inside your own 12-yard line or something absurd. I mean, we saw it a couple times last year when they went for it on fourth and one, deep in their own territory. But the math would tell you, you should go in those spots. And when you have an offense as prolific as this offense, why wouldn't you? So that's going, but that should also help him, right? He should be in a position where you're not going to necessarily have that kind of pressure on you all the time. But they might be in a spot where they are down one with 20 seconds to go, and they're trying to get to the 41-yard line so he can try a 59-yarder to win a game,
He's
right?
going to
So
have less opportunities and they're going to be more important.
no question. No, and that again, therein lies how great Justin Tucker was, more so in the last 5, 6 years of his run with the Ravens, with Lamar and this offense being what
It's
it's been.
almost like for a baseball player getting four at bats a game against as opposed to six. You know,
Sure.
some games you get six at bats if you bat first and you score runs and things happen and you got some base runners. But if you're batting ninth and Brandon Young's pitching in Houston, you know, you only get three ikes, maybe four, right? You know, so I would say it's a little bit more on the line of that where you go back and see Justin Tucker, Ravens 18, Dolphins 12, six field goals. You know what I mean? Like, this is this won't be that way. And I don't know what that means. It just means the shrinkage gets a little tighter and there's less opportunities even to judge him, to give him the attaboys when you're, look, the Ravens could be 3-1. Let me be optimistic while I'm wearing a purple Curio jersey. I'll be optimistic. The Ravens could be 3-1 and win games and extra points, and they're going to go for some deuces as well. But between extra points and they should score touchdowns. So the extra points are 35-yard field goals. They're like legit. So to me, his foot on the football six, seven times a game, maybe, as opposed to Tucker, sometimes 8 or 9 or 10. If they're, well, not kickoffs, but I'm just talking about for points. I'm talking about point scoring opportunities. I he it's a small sample size. It's like at bats for a baseball player to say, did he go 1 for 6, 0 for 6, 5 for 6? Because that's kind of how we're going to be. We're going to have a scorecard out on this kid. There's no doubt about it because he could miss two kicks against the Browns and the Ravens could still win 36-14. But if anything goes wrong in any of these other games, it's just incredibly magnified by the stakes in the bigger games, especially that they're early in the year. And that's going to be his, you better hope he's not a story in that way. You know what I mean? Not in a
No
bad
doubt.
way.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you would kind of like him to kind of blend into the background, right? Be good when he's asked to be good, but you don't really want him to be the story because that also would mean their offense probably isn't firing on all cylinders. To your point, when you
And
think
they're in
back,
tight games.
when you think back to what Justin Tucker had to do at times when, let's face it, when the Ravens offense wasn't firing on all cylinders years ago.
And that's when the game gets into balance and Lamar's not just
No
out
question.
boat racing teams the way, dude, we're 7 years into this and
We've seen that a lot.
they boat raced the Bills here last year. It didn't matter who was kicking or how. I mean, I think that was a sideline. Well, we're a little worried about Justin Tucker. Dude, they won 37-13. Stop. You know what I mean? You don't even want to talk about that. That's okay. You'll be able to hide from that. But it's hard to hide your kicker, I guess is what I'm saying. And it's hard for the kicker to be as great as the other guy was. And I just think he's going to lose a game or two for them this year. And we're
Well,
going to have to
and
sit here and talk about it the next day and put the black hat on him because that's just kind of the way it goes with
that's the
kickers.
job. That's the job. But I would also remind, and I'll be the first to say, they lost a few games with Justin Tucker being in the middle of it last year. I mean, go back and look at their
But they didn't
losses.
for a decade.
I know, but my point is you
Even when
kind
it
of,
was 63 yards in
so
Detroit.
no, but part of this is also how many times in recent years have you said, or have I said to you know what the mark of a great third down offense is? One that avoids third downs altogether, right? Because you're just a great offense. It's not that you're a great offense because you're really good on third down. And let me be clear, the Ravens have been good on third down, but what's made them special is they aren't in a ton of third downs compared to some other
Well,
offenses
when they
because
are boat racing
so
teams.
it's kind of the same. It's kind of the same principle here that, you know, you're hoping that Tyler Loop doesn't have an extraordinary volume of kicks that he's needing to make this year. I mean, we talked about that. Go look at Justin Tucker, what his numbers were in 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, compared to beginning in 2019. You know, the sheer volume of opportunities, it dropped. You know, we talked about that with Sam Cook a couple of his years where he barely punted, you know, where it was just like, oh my gosh, like Sam punted, I think he had half the number of punts he had in,
Yeah,
I
once
don't know,
Harbaugh reread the
2015.
analytics and
Well, and
DaCosta
they were just
scored
better
them up
too.
and they
Their
had
offense was
Lamar, it
better.
just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, their
All
offense was
their
just like, yeah.
numbers got really weirdly skewed just for how much they ran the football, how they didn't throw, how their quarterback runs for 1,000 yards. You know, like just all of the weirdness of all of it went out the window when Lamar Ball came in here. But the one thing that always held it together was we can kick it anytime we get to the 50 from
And you're gonna
anywhere.
need it.
And we got 3 points, and I don't know that they're going to live that way for a little while.
Well, I mean, but at the same time, you got to find out one way or the other. So, it's going to be interesting. And that's why, again, Saturday night being what it was, it's the most pressure situation he's faced to this point because you can't simulate December games in August. So he had a chance to kick six field goals. He made five of them, right? And he looked good doing it. I mean, missed one wide left.
He
It was a
looks the
longer kick.
part, right? I mean,
Yeah, he does. He's talented. Talking to someone in the organization right before the start of training camp, the overall thought was, this kid's going to kill it in the summer. Like, we think he is extremely talented. He's got a good head on his shoulders. We got to see how he kicks in the preseason games. But yeah, there's going to be some unknown until we get to that moment. I mean, because think about it. And we talk about, preseason's perfect right now. I mean, you have all these young guys out on the field where, like, Ruben Lowry. I remember I mentioned to him to you back in like June. He was my undrafted rookie and he's made me look smart, even though, I wasn't the only one talking about him back in June because he's a rookie free agent who's done a nice job. But these games that he's played in, these first two preseason games, they've been like the Super Bowl for him. He's trying to win a job, right? Tyler Loop's trying to prove himself. But at the same time, we also know that this is nothing like what week one's going to be in Buffalo in 3 weeks. And it's nothing like what it's going to be in Kansas City in week three. And guess what? Those week one and week three games will be nothing like if they're playing the Bills and Kansas City in January, like we all anticipate. So, but you can only, you have to walk before you can run. You have to jog before you can run. You have to run before you can all out sprint, right? I mean, it's kind of that principle here to this point. They've tried to create as many game situations for him to practice. And, they're on the backfields and they're running a 2 minute drill where they're running out of time and they're out of timeouts. And the offense runs a play. They go up and spike the ball, or he has to run out and they have to set the ball, kind of like the Billy Cundiff scenario in Foxborough, whatever. You try to do as much of that as you can, but you also know it's not the same. So, just like any of these young guys, I mean, I've mentioned Ruben Lowry. Great story. I think he's going to make the team at this point. Does that mean he's going to be ready to play if they have three injuries in their secondary in week seven and he's thrown to the fire? I don't know, right? I mean, because it's not the same. So, but for Tyler Loop, it's gone. I think it's gone as well as they could have reasonably expected to this point. And now, hey, week one's 3 weeks away. It's almost here, and we're going to see if he has to make a game-winning kick or maybe he won't have to, but you certainly want some consistency. The one thing I'll point out, and you mentioned it in passing, and I don't want to belabor this, but keep in mind this kickoff rule that was implemented last year, they've tweaked it this year that if there's a touchback, it doesn't go to the 30 now, it goes to the 35. So there is way more directional kicking placement, trying to drop it into that zone where it's not just a touchback. He did kick a ball out of bounds on Saturday night, so that was kind of a blip against him. But there's some of that that goes on as well. So he's got to do all those things, because we know how important field position is. So,
It's more like a golf shot with your foot at that
it's
point.
very different. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I was kind of, I think the dynamic kickoff rule change last year served its purpose. We did see more kickoffs than we had seen in recent years, but I still wasn't like wowed by it. I do think the change now of creating an even greater penalty for a touchback is going to make for some interesting
Well, I mean,
setups
do you
here, I
want the
think.
ball in play to have the injuries, or do you not? And
Yeah.
somewhere in the middle of there, I
The
don't know that
weather's
they're
going to have a
making any more money in the league because they're having kickoffs or having violent ones. I mean,
Yeah,
I.
well, but part of it, keep in mind, a lot of the research that, with the head injuries and the concussions, they think it was these guys running full force for 50 yards and then having a car crash, whereas they're all now advanced downfield and they have to wait for the ball to be touched or
It's more like a football
it's a
play.
little more like a punt now rather than, just this guy's running at full speed and then, two guys running at each other 20 yards in opposite directions and just boom, head on collisions and all that. So, I think the numbers, as much as I'm skeptical when the league puts out numbers, I do think there were some legit numbers suggesting that it was a safer play last year than it had been in previous years. So, We're
That
going to see
makes
what that
all the
looks
sense in
like.
the world. That, I buy that.
And I still want to see returns. I mean, we saw this. It was a punt, but we saw Lejounte Wester do what he did in the first preseason game. That was really exciting. It reminded you of Jacoby Jones or Jermaine Lewis. You're hoping that they've got something with Wester. So, we'll see how it plays out. But that's part of Loop's, that what he's getting accustomed to. And I don't think, obviously, that's not number one in the mind of fans and what we're going to be watching on a weekly basis, but it still matters. It's still something that tell you it matters for John Harbaugh and Chris Horton and Randy Brown as they're trying to make their special teams units better than they were in general last year. I mean, their special teams are really underwhelming last year overall. Tucker was a big part of that, but their punt team and their return game, I mean, it was really a non-factor for them. So they're
Unspecial special
yeah,
teams.
exactly. So that's something that they're trying to, when you're talking about a team that's this close, right? I mean, they've been this close. Those are the things that can matter in a big game. So, that's just another part of what they're trying to get a little bit better with as they try to finally break through here in 2025.
Luke Jones is here. The Ravens will be there at Northwest Stadium. The other team here in Maryland, as I rubbed elbows with the governor a couple times, who is a Ravens guy, but saw a lot of Commanders fans and whatnot at Mako this week. We're going to get the Crab Cake Tour out this week. It is our 27th anniversary. Tastiness is the way to find all of the tips and tidbits that I've been giving for delicious foods around here. All right, Luke, to round this thing up, it's cut week, right? It's Turk week. There's a lot of bodies out there. All who the hell knows who these guys are been playing the last 2 weeks. There's more of that this week. That's the dynamic of this. And I know there's going to be scrimmage in this that there wasn't against Dallas.
No, that actually the joint practice actually and that
That got
got
banged,
yeah
right?
I, and I think it has to do with Washington. They played the they had the Monday night game, that, but anyway, that got axed, just
It
to
got
update you.
banged, right? But for whatever it is, the starters don't play. There's no more. They're playing a quarter. They're playing a half. They're playing the very always important third preseason game. You know what? Like all of
Now
that
it's the
stuff.
last one, at least. At least we can say
Well,
that. It's the last one.
yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should just say, what have we learned here? What are you expecting to come down the pipeline on a WNST text brought to you by Cole Roofing or in any shuffling at the bottom of
Yeah.
the deck here? Because it feels like this has been very perfunctory, this whole preseason thing, just not getting any more injuries beyond our Darius Washington and what they've already had happen with Isaiah Likely.
Yeah, and we did find out Adisa Isaacs, he dislocated his elbow on Saturday night. That sounds to me like decent chance he ends up on IR to start the year. That probably, if it weren't going to, it definitely saves David Ajabo's roster spot for the time being. I think Ajabo, to me, if he was on, he's one of the last guys making the 53-man roster, so that probably saves him for the time being. But really, I mean, it's depth right now. I mean, they're trying to figure out who are going to be the eighth, ninth, and maybe 10th offensive lineman. Corey Bullock, the former Terp, looks like he's emerged to be the backup center to Linderbaum. That's surprising. I wouldn't have called that back even 3 or 4 weeks ago, let alone back in during OTA. So that's good. It's nice to see a local kid, make good in that way. But they're trying to figure out, who's going to be the ninth offensive lineman. How are you going to keep 10? So you have a little bit of that. Quarterback's clear cut. Running back, I think, it sounds like they're going to keep four running backs. So Rasheen Ali is the fourth running back. That's not that consequential, right? I mean, you hope not. You certainly hope not that you're not. Although 4 years ago, when they lost three running backs to the season-ending injuries in what, a week's time, then it ended up being a very real factor. But offensive line, defense, the defense of depth. I think defensive line beyond their three starters, Matt Ibike, Travis Jones, Broderick Washington. Like, who are the depth guys? I mean, Peebles, the sixth round pick, he's going to be on the team. I think the 36-year-old nose tackle, John Jenkins, I think he's on. Yet they've had this really interesting 370-pound Nigerian guy that has, kind of taken everyone by surprise. And of course, I'm talking about CJ Okoye. I mean, the team's website did a story on him. He's only been playing organized football for 3 years, but he's done at least a nice enough job that They're absolutely going to want him on the practice squad. So, does he has he shown enough? Or maybe you say, oh, we don't want another team to claim him off waivers. Do we sneak him on the back of the roster? And, maybe you do a wink wink with John Jenkins, because they've done that with guys like Brent Urban in recent years, where they cut him at the end of the preseason and then bring him back 3 days later. So there's some of that going
Well,
on.
also invest salaries too, if
Yeah,
you're not on
exactly.
the,
That's part of it too. No question. So, I think this is relative intrigue. This isn't like edge of your seat, oh my gosh, what's going to happen third preseason game kind of stuff. But, you're looking at that. I mentioned Ruben Lawrie, who, this guy's just, he just makes plays. He's played safety, he's played nickel, he played cornerback in the spring, and he makes plays. Obviously he's not going to see the field anytime soon in terms of like regular season necessarily, but man, he's got a knack for being around the football. I mean, had a pick on Sunday night playing deep safety in a sudden change situation late in the second quarter. And then guess what he did early in the third quarter? They had him playing nickel, and he's blowing up guys close to the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's undersized. He's like 5'9", 200
I was going to say,
pounds.
real small guy,
But
diminutive
man,
guy.
he makes some plays where you say, man, I mean, maybe he's the next Tavon Young. And that's kind of a lazy, just throwing out kind of a, an under the radar guy. I mean, Tavon Young was a fourth round pick, so it's not like he was undrafted, but man, he's just, I look at him and I say, for an undrafted guy out of what, Tennessee Chattanooga, I mean, he's done nothing but just go out there and make every single play and take advantage of every single rep that's been afforded to him. And I look at that and say, man, maybe they keep him over someone like Bo Brade, right, who made the team last year as an undrafted rookie. But if you noticed, Lowry was playing before him on Saturday night. So you kind of pay attention to when these second and third string guys actually see the field in these preseason games. That to me is way more informative than, if a guy makes a tackle or bats a pass up in the third or fourth quarter, where you just say, okay, he's going up against other third string guys. So, I think, there's a lot of that going on, but in terms of like major job competitions, things of that nature, I mean, I think most of that's been decided. I mean, I really think you're going into Saturday afternoon's preseason finale. Really, and you know this, Nestor, I mean, no, so many coaches that you talked to 20, 30 years ago, where in reality, you'll hear a lot of talk about all these different guys on the bubble. By Saturday, there's maybe one or two jobs still up for grabs. For the most part, the rest of that stuff's going to be decided. And it'll really come down to, okay, these backups that have to play on Saturday, does someone else get hurt? I mentioned Isaac, who gets hurt, probably is on IR now the first 4 weeks of the season. And that probably saves David Ajabo at this point if he wasn't going to make it. So, there's always that factor. That's why you try to keep as many of these guys out of harm's way as possible. I'm guessing there's a good chance they might even hold out Malachi Starks on Saturday because they saw him play the first two preseason games. And I think they saw enough to say, all right, he's on track. He looks the part. He's probably going to have some hiccups as a rookie here or there, because Kyle Hamilton did 3 years ago. And we know what Kyle Hamilton, what kind of player he is, but we probably don't need to see him out there on Saturday. So I'm guessing you'll see even a few more guys held out. I don't think we're going to see it go the other direction. I can't fathom that they're going to ch play their starters. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to ask John Harbaugh the fact that their joint practice got banged, got canceled. Does that change anything? I'm guessing the answer is no. I'm guessing it just changes maybe their reps in practice this week a little bit. But, for the most part, again, this is back end of the roster stuff, which some people eat that up. And look, we all love the stories of the undrafted rookie. I mean, Ruben Lowry's been a good story. But hey, Keon Martin is another guy that if you told me right now he's got a outside chance of making the roster, he made a couple plays right off the bat on Saturday
Hey,
night.
Keaton
So,
Mitchell and his dad were both,
yeah,
edge of the roster guys. How about that?
exactly. I mean, once upon a time, no one knew who Bart Scott was. And then Bart Scott ended up.
Well, we did. Casey and I, we
No, but I
tossed him
mean,
off.
but when he what when he ver when he first arrived, right? I mean,
Oh,
that's how it
yeah.
works.
I
So
mean,
it's
that's
fun.
how it was for Matt Judon.
It's fun. I mean, it
100%.
absolutely is. I mean, it's one thing to talk about late draft picks, but these guys that are undrafted, I mean, we know what it's, I think it's 20 of the last 21 years, they've kept at least one rookie free agent on their initial 53-man roster, week one 53-man roster. So I think it's going to be Ruben Lowry, but I've also been wrong before. So, you know, from that standpoint, I guess stay tuned as much as you can for Saturday afternoon's game. But in terms of really, truly big time consequential stuff, no. I mean, we're talking about, you know, I mean, it could end up being we see Devin Leary go the distance because, you know, they gave Cooper Rush his extended reps on Saturday night, which, you know, some good, some not so good, but I
Dude, it's
think.
terrible football. Please don't make me watch it again
I know,
Saturday,
I know.
please.
I'm not, believe me, I'm, this is my best sell job for you. And I think you could tell, you know, I'm interested because, hey, this is, it's my job. I'm to tell you and everyone listening about which guys have a chance to make the back of the roster. But, you know, beyond those couple good stories, and like I said, I mean, Ruben Lowry's a good story. And I mentioned Okoye, who has really been a good story. I mean, I still think he's more practice squad. But man, you can't teach. He's 6'6", 370 pounds, and he's every bit of that. He might be more than that. He is a monster of a human being. They
It
might.
sounds like what Vince McMahon would always say about like Big John Studd.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, whoever was trying to slam and beat Andre, right?
King
So,
Kong Maska.
yeah. So, but you know, those are the guys that are, hey, if you're watching the game on Saturday, that's who you're watching. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, we are what, a week from Tuesday. So the 26th, that is when cuts to 53
All
go
right, I'm
down.
done with
So
all this. Let's go. Let's
yeah,
go.
that's fine.
Let's go. Let's get to
I'm done.
Buffalo. You
I'm
ready?
done. I'm ready. I am ready. I
Let's go.
absolutely am ready.
I've been ready. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.